Earlier this month, TransCanada Alaska President Tony Palmer told the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce that industry interest in his company's natural gas pipeline plan has been high in the first week of their open season. TransCanada is allied with ExxonMobil in seeking bids for the pipeline over the next 90 days. A second venture formed by ConocoPhillips and BP will also be seeking bids starting in July. These two open seasons for the largest construction project in the world are taking place under the rules set by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And they are being watched over by Larry Pursley, who is charged by federal law with the job of facilitating the process. Based largely in Washington, D.C., but with an office in Anchorage as well, Pursley had a press briefing today and appeared on the statewide show Talk of Alaska. He says the public will probably not know much of anything about the gas pipeline negotiations until late this year. FERC keeps it all confidential, guarding against an unfair advantage for any of the competing producers.
I liken it to that remember when we were younger and the astronauts would go to the moon, and when they hit the backside of the moon, there's no radio contact till they come back out and they call in and say, we're heading home and all is well. Same thing, the open season is where the two projects, one being TransCanada Exxon, the other being the Denali, which is BP and Conoco, they go out there and say, here's what we think we're going to build. Here's what we propose to build. Here's how much we think it's going to cost. Who wants to use our pipeline? And then those bids that they come in to the two project developers are not public.
It is a huge gamble involving $30 to $40 billion worth of financing. There is guesswork involved at every stage of the process. The interest rate, for instance, will depend in part on the risk. That risk would be driven down by federal loan guarantees, but they are currently not big enough to cover the entire cost of the project. There will likely be a move in Congress to increase them. A bigger gamble involves the market price of the gas.
If you knew somehow, some magical powers, that gas was never going to exceed today's price at lower 48 spot markets of $4, you wouldn't build this project. That won't be enough to cover the cost of producing the gas, getting it out of the ground, putting it in a pipe, and delivering it to Chicago, Milwaukee, Spokane, Des Moines, wherever it's going to go.
Tony Palmer says gas prices would have to double before they would support the cost of getting the gas to market from Alaska. There are also uncertainties in the markets for competing fossil fuels like oil and coal. And with recent disasters in both coal mining and deepwater offshore oil drilling, plus climate warming and the prospect of carbon limits, Pursley says the political climate is potentially favorable for Alaska natural gas.
You look at the options out there, a lot of people are not very happy with a future tied to coal. You can try cleaning it, but coal is still a lot dirtier than the natural gas. You know, you spill gas, and unless you light it on fire, there's not a whole lot of damage. You spill oil, and as we're finding, it's particularly offshore, so that the public's looking at that. And I think it could work out very well for the Alaska Gas Project.
Pursley sees less promising markets for liquefied natural gas. He says Pacific Rim markets, whether Asian or West Coast, are not large enough to support the cost of an all-Alaska pipeline. Others vigorously disagree with that assessment, and the TransCanada open season does allow bids for an in-state line to Valdez. The other open season proposal will involve 4 to 6 points where the gas could be drawn off for Alaska use.